KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy with areas of fog, 60 degrees in Atlantic. We look for any fog to burn off by around 10 a.m. and expect partly cloudy to cloudy skies for the balance of the day with a high of 76. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. In area news, the City of Atlantic's Community Protection Commission, or CPC, is set to meet this evening in the Council's chambers at City Hall. And during that 5 o'clock session, the Commission will discuss the speed limit on a portion of 22nd Street and a vicious dog permit. They'll also hear updates on matters pertaining to truck parking and the Cat Trap and Release program. I'll have more news in just a moment.
Last week, Mark became the proud father of twins.
Look, pumpkin silk diapers.
Like any new father, he wants the best for his girls. So he also became the proud owner of a Trane central cooling system. It keeps Mark's whole house cool and comfortable no matter how hot it gets outside.
Doesn't that feel good?
And since Trane systems can also lower energy costs, there's more for the college fund.
Ivy League, of course.
When they say expect more from a Trane, they back it with over 90 years of industry-leading innovation, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Hi, this is Bob Jacobson, owner of Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your area Trane dealer. You know the true Trane difference? You, your family, your comfort, and what it means most to us is providing better, healthier air for those that mean the most to you. Shouldn't that be reason enough to call me now at 877-838-8580? Call me now and let me show you how you can save money with a new Trane home comfort system. 877-838-8580, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a Trane.
An Iowa man will face federal charges in a bank robbery now that Nebraska is dropping its case. 67-year-old Max Lafferty of Sioux City was indicted last week in U.S. District Court in Omaha. Dakota County Attorney Kim Watson filed a motion on Friday to dismiss the Nebraska case against Lafferty, who's accused of robbing a bank of the West Branch in South Sioux City on September 11th. Police say he flashed a steak knife when he demanded cash from a bank worker and left the building with about $1,500. He was arrested nearly a block away. A Dakota County jailer said Monday that Lafferty has been turned over to the federal marshals. A 49-year-old Wisconsin man has been given up to 30 years in prison for burglaries he committed in Iowa. The office of the Sioux County Attorney, Coleman McAllister, says Daniel DeTag of Appleton, Wisconsin, pleaded guilty to three counts of burglary. He was sentenced in Orange City on Monday as a habitual offender and must serve at least 6 years before he could be eligible for parole. DeTag was ordered to make restitution of nearly $8,500 to his burglary victims in Sioux County. Prosecutors say DeTag was captured on July the 15th as he was burglarizing a business in Ireton. Authorities believe he's responsible for at least 25 burglaries in Iowa and Minnesota since June. His record also includes convictions in Oklahoma and Wisconsin. A report from the state auditor shows it costs on average just over $81 per day to house a prison inmate in Iowa last year. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis has more.
The average daily cost per inmate of $81.17 for the 2011 fiscal year is about 7.5% higher than the average daily cost per inmate of $75.46 in 2007. The audit shows the average annual cost per inmate at the state's nine prison institutions ranged from $19,901 at the North Central Correctional Facility in Rockwell City to $49,615 at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Oakdale. General fund expenditures for the nine institutions totaled roughly $261 million. That marked an increase of less than 0.5% over 2010. The average number of inmates in Iowa's prisons last year was 8,816. That compares to 8,763 5 years ago. I'm Pat Curtis.
Authorities say a suburban Des Moines man has been cited for a squirrel hunt at his home. The 23-year-old was wearing camouflage clothing while hunting in his backyard in Urbandale on Friday. Urbandale police spokesman Randy Peterson said the man was using a pellet gun to knock the squirrels out of his trees. Officers say they found two squirrel carcasses on the man's back deck. He has a valid hunting license, but he was cited for discharging a weapon inside the city limits, which is a simple misdemeanor. A lawyer for a conservative passed over for jobs at the University of Iowa Law School is asking jurors to find that she was the victim of political discrimination and award more than $400,000 in damages. Steve Feigwer told jurors Monday that Teresa Wagner was rejected for positions by blazing liberal faculty members, quote-unquote, because of her opposition to abortion rights. Feigwer said that their testimony that she botched the job interview was made up to a high discrimination. He compared the situation to minorities once given bogus excuses for not being allowed to join county or country clubs. George Carroll, a lawyer for the school, said it was Wagner who was improperly imposing her political beliefs by arguing that professors could not judge her fairly simply because they were registered Democrats. Jurors started deliberating in the case on Monday. Iowa drivers need to be on the lookout for deer as the harvest thins, the cornfields, and the mating season begins. Iowa ranks second among the states in the number of car versus deer crashes. Only West Virginia has more. This is the time of year for drivers to be most watchful. State Farm Insurance, which tracks statistics on deer-related accidents, says November, October, and December, in that order, are the most common months for deer accidents. Tom Litchfield of the Iowa DNR says corn crops make good cover for deer, and as the harvest progresses, the deer scatter. Deer are on the move mostly at dawn and dusk, but Litchfield says it could be any time during the mating season. Iowa farmers are very close to wrapping up this year's harvest, but work was delayed by some much-needed rain. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says 93% of the corn crop has been harvested, which is a month ahead of schedule. 69% of the soybean crop is in, which is almost 3 weeks ahead of normal. The USDA said in Monday's weekly report that widespread rain helped Iowa's pasture and rangeland, but about 73% is very poor or poor condition. Hay supplies are running about 42% short. A slow-moving storm system brought rain to the state on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of last week. The statewide average was a half inch, just shy of the weekly normal of 56 one-hundredths of an inch of precipitation. Despite recent rains, reservoirs on the Missouri River are dropping as drought persists and low water levels will translate to higher electric rates for some Iowans. The Western Area Power Administration, or WAPA, is responsible for selling power from hydroelectric dams on the river. And WAPA spokesman Randy Wilkerson said they're watching the water levels carefully.
Right now we know that water levels in the reservoirs are low, and we're anticipating less than normal generation over the winter and into the coming year.
The agency delivers power to several rural electric co-ops and municipalities in Iowa and in 14 other states. Wilkerson said WAPA easily met its power projections during last year's historic flooding on the Missouri.
Everybody had more than enough water. And we had excess generation that we could actually sell on the open market. And this year, if we have less than normal generation, we'll have to be out on the open market purchasing some power in order to make up our contracts.
Wilkerson says while WAPA will meet its power contract obligations, they likely will come at an added cost.
You know, it gets built into the rates somewhere along the line. We do have a drought adder for Pixelone that periodically takes a look at the rates and identifies how much costs are due to drought or low water levels. So absolutely, yes. Ultimately, it gets built into the rates.
Last year, WAPA delivered more than 42 billion kilowatt hours of electricity to its service areas. And the Iowa Department of Public Health is reminding you again to get vaccinated against the flu after seeing an increase in cases among kids. Department Medical Director Patricia Quinlisk says they don't keep track of every case of the flu, but have certain facilities that they track.
We had our numbers go up over 50% just in the children alone in the last week. And we know that children, particularly in smaller rural communities, are really the ones who spread flu in that community. And so if we can stop the children from spreading it, not only will they not get the flu, but we know that it will protect grandma and grandpa and the guy who's got heart disease, et cetera. So we want to remind people that it's particularly important to get children vaccinated.
Dr. Quinlisk says this year's flu poses a triple threat.
All three strains of the flu that could have come to Iowa have already gotten to Iowa and are spreading. The good news is, of course, that all three of those strains are found in this year's flu vaccine. So if you get the vaccine, it will cover you against all three of the strains that are out there right now. If you don't get vaccinated, the chance is that you could even get all three strains of the flu, because if you get one type of flu, it does not protect you against the other two types.
The flu vaccine, she says, is recommended for anyone over 6 months of age.
And since children younger than 6 months of age just are too young to get the vaccine, we want to protect them by doing two things, making sure that their moms get vaccinated when they're pregnant. That means that not only will they not get the flu, but they actually will pass on some of their immunity to the baby before it's born. And then once the child is born, make sure that everybody around that child, the grandparents, dad, other siblings, babysitter, all of them are vaccinated so that nobody will bring flu to that child.
Adults and children can be scared of getting a shot, but Quinlisk says there are now options that are less painful.
Now there is the mist that it's basically a squirt up the nose, and there's also a very small needled flu vaccine that basically puts the vaccine through a very small needle into the skin. So there's options out there. So if you're somebody who just doesn't like needles, well, you can still get vaccinated.
Beyond getting a flu shot, Quinlisk says remember to practice the three C's. Cover your coughs and sneezes, clean your hands frequently, and contain germs by staying home when you are ill. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, Vice President Joe Biden says the election is going to be close. He appeared on NBC's Today show one day after the final presidential debate in which neither candidate scored a knockout blow in a race that's essentially a dead heat. President Obama, Republican Mitt Romney, and their running mates are beginning a final sprint through nine states whose electoral votes are still considered up for grabs. Britney Spears' former self-styled manager is expected to take center stage in court today in a lawsuit he filed against the star's parents. Sam Lufty is seeking a share of her millions of dollars in earnings in a defamation suit against Spears' parents. Spears' mother has portrayed him in a book as someone who controlled the singer and gave her drugs. Lufty said he was trying to help Spears. And in world news, officials say at least nine people have been killed and 26 wounded in a series of attacks on Shiite neighborhoods in Baghdad today. The attacks came as Iraqis prepare to celebrate a Muslim holiday, which begins later this week. Lebanon's capital is reported to be calm today, one day after troops launched a major security operation to quell fighting, touched off by the assassination of a top anti-Syrian intelligence chief. The country's police chief has described a carefully planned car bombing that targeted the intelligence officer as he was moving about the capital in secret. Many in Lebanon blame Syria for the killing. And the International Space Station is gearing up for some company. A trio of astronauts is in orbit today after blasting off aboard a Russian spacecraft for a two-day ride to the ISS. Their arrival will double the size of the station crew to six. News time is 8:12.
Part of making a major purchase is knowing what kind of service it'll require. For reliable home comfort systems, just look to us. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your local train dealer. Bob Jacobson here. From major repairs, including new house construction, to seasonal maintenance, we can make your home more comfortable. When it comes to heating, cooling, venting, or plumbing your new home or existing residence, Jacobson Plumbing and Heating can get the job done right and in a professional, timely manner. How can I be sure? Because when you call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating, you'll talk with me, the owner, and I'm also the one who will be doing the work. It's my name and my reputation at stake, two things I don't take lightly. I'll do the work, and I'll do it right. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Don't put it off. Call me right now, 877-838-8580. Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train.
In the funeral announcements, Beverly Webb, age 81, of Oakland, died October 16th, last Tuesday. Funeral services for Beverly Webb will be today at 10:30 at the Oakland Christian Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. William Bill Murphy, age 76, of Wyota, a longtime Cass County resident, died Saturday in Osceola. Funeral services for Bill Murphy will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Franklin Dwayne Evans, age 69, of Shelby, died Sunday. Memorial services for Franklin Evans will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Elmer Clarence Anderson, age 80, of Stewart, died Sunday. Funeral services for Elmer Anderson will be held Thursday at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Thomas Lee Orweiler, age 38, of Des Moines, died Saturday. A memorial service for Thomas Orweiler will be on Friday at 1:30 at the Dexter United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. And Ruby Claver, age 91, of Carroll and formerly of Manila, died this morning at St. Anthony's Nursing Home in Carroll. A mass of Christian burial service for Ruby Claver is currently pending at this time, with the Odie Funeral Home of Manila in charge of arrangements. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.